So let me add my, he is risen to you. He is risen. And so today we're going to be looking at that truth. But my name is Greg. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace Community Church. And if you're watching us online, thank you for joining with us. It's always a joy for us to share this good news across the waves, the airwaves. And it's a great opportunity to just gather together as church family. So thank you for being with us this morning. We are in a little series here this week. Started with last week with Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and then today. And we've been talking about who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? But the title of my message today is What If? What If? And we're going to be looking at what if Jesus stayed in the grave? And we're going to be drawing from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to start you off with just a few verses from that before we have our big idea and we pray in just a moment here. So from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12, it says this: Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Our big idea for today is this: it's why is the resurrection of Christ such a big deal? Why is the resurrection of Christ such a big deal? Josh McDowell, from his book, The Resurrection Factor, said this. He said, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is either one of the most wicked, heartless, vicious hoaxes ever foisted upon the minds of men, or it is the most fantastic fact of history. It's either history's greatest delusion or the greatest miracle that history records. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for many of us, this is a familiar message. Even before we came to know you, we've celebrated Easter. And perhaps for some of us, the richness, the awe, the wonder of this message has kind of dulled over time. So, Lord, we ask you to open the eyes of our heart and fill us with wonder once again. Lord, you know each listener today. You know where they're at. You know what's going through their life, the challenges, the questions, the stress, the joys. But we ask, Lord, that in this time, your Holy Spirit would come in such a way as to minister personally to us. Lord, to those who need answers, we pray that you would provide that and that you would provide faith to those who yet do not believe. Help me, Lord, to communicate your truth accurately. Sincerely and with a way that would really serve the people that you love here. Bring glory to your Son. Give us hope. Give us joy. Renew in us the joy of salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to call out if you know the title of this movie. What? Groundhog Day. That's right. Grumpy meteorologist Phil Collins lived Groundhog Day over and over and over and over. And I think, like, what if he never got it? What if he never changed? What if he stayed in that loop? How about this next one? What is this? What is it? It's A Wonderful Life. What if George Bailey was never born is the question. What if he never had been born? And we saw in that movie depicted what changed in Bedford Falls. It became Pottersville, and the lives that were lost because he wasn't there for his younger brother. Many of my grandkids have enjoyed a series called What If? How many of you have seen this? A lot of you have seen it. A lot of parents. Lots of kids. Lots of kids and lots of parents. It's reimagining what would have happened if significant events in the Marvel movies were changed. And things changed and it didn't go the way we saw it. So, like from season one, what if Thor was an only child? There'd be no Loki, right? What if Ultron won is another episode? And then from season one, episode three, it's what if the world lost its mightiest heroes? If there weren't those great heroes to save the world, what if they had been defeated by Ant-Man, I think it was, and they all died? How would life have been different? What would the future been like in the Marvel Universe? Well, today our text presents another what-if scenario. This morning we're going to look at three what-ifs to consider. What if Jesus was not resurrected? What if Jesus was resurrected? And what if there's reasonable proof to believe? So let's look at, first of all, what if Jesus wasn't resurrected? And just before we get into our text here, I want to just give some context. Again, Good Friday, we revisited the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. According to the Gospels, Jesus was crucified by Roman authorities on the day before the Jewish holiday, the Jewish Sabbath. He was charged with blasphemy and sedition. His horrendous execution and death were witnessed by crowds. Jewish and Roman officials also were there. And then there was the burial. After his death, Jesus' body was wrapped in a linen shroud and placed in a tomb. And I'm going to get my water. I'm going to do something that I've seen done recently. I got to get something. There we go. I'm back. I've learned you can do this. You can walk off for a while. Come back. So then we have the burial. After his death, Jesus' body was wrapped in a linen shroud, placed in a tomb. It was sealed with a large stone. And this was done by Joseph Arimathea, a secret disciple of Jesus, who sought the body from the governor, Pontius Pilate. Guards were placed to secure it so that no one would touch that body. And then, as we know, on Resurrection Sunday morning, the first day of the week, after the Sabbath, women who followed Jesus discovered the tomb was empty, and an angel announced to them that Jesus had been risen from the dead. And this was the fulfillment of many statements and prophecies that Jesus had been making throughout his time with his disciples. So our question is, what if Jesus wasn't resurrected? And so from 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 17, it says this: if Jesus has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in Christ we have hope only in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. So let's look at that. First of all, it says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. In other words, it was useless for you to believe. It was worthless. Your faith was empty. Believing in Jesus didn't make any difference at all in your life. And then it says, if he wasn't raised, then you are still in your sins. You are still in your sins. You still are condemned. You still are chargeable. You still are accountable to God. You are vulnerable. You're responsible for your sin. You're guilty. And Jesus, being in the grave, can't help you at all. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, it says, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In the New Testament, that idea, since it says that believers will live forever, instead of saying that they died, many times they'll say they fell asleep. So it says, all those people who went before you, all those funeral services where you said, we're going to see you in heaven. We're looking forward to that. If Christ wasn't raised from the dead, it says here that they have perished. They've perished. They're not going to meet you. They're still lost. They were condemned. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 talks about those who are lost and don't have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It says that they will suffer punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. You would not be in the presence of God if there's no resurrection. You and I would experience destruction, eternal destruction, and we would be away from his presence. And then it says, as it relates to this life here, and somehow if we can take, we would take comfort if there was no heaven or there was just a judgment, well, maybe we're just enjoying our life here as Christians. He said, no. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. You're to be pitied if there's no resurrection. Like all that time you spent reading the Bible, all that time you spent serving others, all that time you spent giving your resources, the life choices you made, and how you've been mocked for some of you, persecuted. You're a fool. If there's no resurrection, you were a foolish person to give your life to that in this life. But, secondly, what if Christ was resurrected? The Apostle Paul says here in our text, 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 20, it says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. He says, in fact, he has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have died or have fallen asleep. In order to be first fruits, that means of the grain, of the harvest, there's the first fruits, the first ones that kind of come in to after the harvest. But that implies and says that there's going to be more fruits that come after that. He was the first fruits to come into eternal life in the sense of with his new body that will live into eternity. And we have that hope now for those who are in Christ. And it says, as by a man came death, also by a man came the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, Paul talks about this representation that has happened for mankind and for believers. We have a representative that went before us. The first representative that we have is Adam. And what happened as a result of Adam's sin has affected us all. Sin entered the world, and we all have sin nature because of that. And because of Christ, he became the second Adam, and he is our representative. Think about this. Many of us are familiar with the story of David and Goliath. I may have shared this before. But Goliath, this great giant, came out and he taunted and he challenged the armies of God, the Jews. He was a Philistine and he was their champion. And so he came out challenging them. And basically the challenge was, if I win, all you Jews are our slaves. If your representative comes out and he wins, then we're your slaves. We've been defeated. And that's what happened. Because we have a representative, Jesus, who fought death, who fought the destruction of our souls because of our sin, and he conquered, and he was raised from the dead, so we too have been raised with him. The resurrection has also proved that the death was an atoning sacrifice That means that the effects and the consequences of our sin were satisfied by Jesus dying in our place. It says, because Christ died, we also been made alive. It accomplished what he came to accomplish, to seek and save the lost. It authenticated all of Christ's claims of being the one to come and suffer in our place, the prophecies that were made. Jesus accomplished his mission, and now we join him in his victory. You know, this series we've been talking about, who is this man Jesus? In John chapter 11, Jesus, speaking to Martha, said this. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Who is Jesus? He's the resurrection and the life. If you believe in him, if you trust in him, you will never die with him. But also here, we're going to see that we have the promise of a new body. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 42, it says this, So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. What is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. What is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. We, because of the resurrection, will also have new bodies. Praise the Lord. Isn't that right? Some of us are more eager for that than others. We will have a new body. And it says that this body is imperishable. That means it won't grow old. It won't break down. You won't need operations. You won't need medicines. It'll be a glorious body. It'll continue on for all eternity. Glorious, it says. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. We'll look at one another and say, what a glory to God. Glorious, resurrected believers in Jesus Christ. And you'll have power, it says here. It was sown in weakness and it's raised in power. And it's not like these bodies. It's a spiritual body, but it's going to be, you're going to be able to touch it. You know, we think about in the scriptures where it talks about how Jesus was transfigured and he had this glorious body, this amazing body, but he still could eat. He still could be touched. He still had a personality. He was alive like they had never seen him before. And he's the first fruit, so you and I are going to have spiritual bodies as well. We will join Christ, and we will join loved ones who went before us. So we talked about what if Jesus wasn't resurrected? What if he was resurrected? And thirdly, what if there's reasonable proof? What if there's reasonable proof for you to believe and to trust in the resurrection? We live by faith. We get into this relationship by putting our hope and trust in who Jesus is, that he's God's son, that he's a savior, that he came to die for our sin. But this is by faith that we make these choices, that we believe. And there are many things that our text doesn't even go into, the other reasons why you can believe, such as his miracles, such as his knowledge, the way he responded under pressure, under persecution, his love for people was just incomprehensible. We could look at prophecies from all the Old Testament prophets, hundreds of them that he fulfilled. But we have in our text a reasonable reason for you and I to believe. Starting in verse 3, it says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me. This is the good news, by the way. If you know what, if you want to kind of get an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have these of first importance, it says, the most important message that we can give you is that Christ, Jesus, who is the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who came to deliver us, Christ died for our sins, that he came to be our substitute, to take our sin upon himself, and then give us his righteousness that he earned. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. This was not a new idea. These truths had been pointing to Christ all throughout the Old Testament, that the Christ was coming and he would die and forgive sins. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. These are also prophecies. In Isaiah, in the Psalms, in other places, pointing to this event, God's intention, God's purposes for us. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared, as we're about to see, a list of people who are testifying that they knew that Jesus rose from the dead, that they saw that Jesus rose from the dead. It says, he appeared to Cephas. Cephas is our the apostle Peter that we know. Remember Peter, he's the one that denied Jesus the night before Jesus was crucified. This rugged fisherman who said, I will die with you. And Jesus said, no, you're going to deny me three times tonight. And he denied him three times. But something happened that transformed Peter. In that, just days later, he was standing before the crowds who had crucified his master, and he was declaring boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. He changed. He eventually went on and died a martyr's death because he would not deny the reality that he knew that Jesus was raised from the dead. And then he appeared to the 12, and we saw several of those accounts where he came to the disciples and he ate with the disciples, and he even let Thomas, who said, I'm not going to believe until I put my fingers in his hands and in his side. I don't know if you knew this, but Thomas died in India. I think he was speared to death because of his declaration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it says, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. 500 brothers at, 500 people, brothers at the same time. Now, I personally believe this is Matthew 28, when he appeared to all those people because he told them, you know, tell my brothers to go meet me on this mountain. So that's what I personally believe. But have you ever been like a juror before? Raise your hand if you've ever been a juror in a jury duty. Yeah. Okay, let's say you got your number called, you know, and you didn't get out of it anyway. Maybe even wanted to be on one of these. And they say, you're going to need to leave a lot of extra time for, you know, if you're going to serve on the jury for this one, because we've got 500 people subpoenaed to come and testify. Now, I figured this out. If you could bring 500 people up and you only had them for 5 minutes to testify what they saw, which you know, some of those stories are going to be pretty amazing, so it's going to be longer than that. But 5 minutes, it would take over 40 hours to hear each person get up on that stand and say, did you see Jesus alive? I did. And you talked with him? I did. And you hugged him? You shook his hand? It was amazing, you know. I mean, I heard you could put your fingers in his side or something. So I was trying to do that while we were talking. And, you know, he was talking. He was alive. He was sharing things with me. And you had 1 week on jury duty for 8 hours a day. You just watched them one at a time. 12 an hour going through. And you're listening to this. To believe that he rose from the dead with that much testimony. I mean, you might say, well, this guy's kind of old. Maybe he wasn't thinking straight, or, you know, maybe this person was smoking some stuff. You know, maybe he's kind of crazy. You know, maybe he wasn't. But you don't have 500 witnesses say the same thing, or at least by far the majority of those people saying the same thing, and not be pretty persuaded at the reality. 500, says over 500. And he says, by the way, when he's saying this, he says, and most of these people are still alive. In other words, you could go talk to these people yourself. A few of them are asleep. That means some of them passed away. But we were able to account for over 500 of these people who saw it at that time. And then he said, and then he appeared to James. Now, James is the brother of Jesus. This is James, the brother of Jesus. Now, can you imagine growing up with Jesus? Like, you probably had to have an attitude towards Jesus most of your life, you know. Like, he never gets in trouble. I'm always getting disciplined. In the timeout chair or the discipline, whatever. And yet he never believed in Jesus during his life. He went all those years with Jesus, and he didn't believe in Jesus. But after the resurrection, when Jesus visited him in his resurrected body, James' life was transformed. I mean, he wrote a book, the book of James. We see in the book of Acts how he ended up becoming the leader of the church in Jerusalem, even with those apostles around. James' life was changed because he saw the resurrected Christ. And then it says he appeared to all the apostles, and whether this is the 12 or with this other people who had apostolic ministries, he appeared to all of them. And it says, last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me. Some people believe that you could put your bank your faith on Christianity just on the changed life of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Like, this guy was the most unlikely person because he was persecuting all the Christians. He was fighting Christianity. He was imprisoning people. He was causing people to blaspheme and be imprisoned. But when he came in contact with the risen Christ in Damascus, he was immediately changed. He was immediately preaching. He was persecuted. He suffered his whole life from that point on. But he knew this Jesus is God, and he is the Savior of the world. And this is the most important message that I have for the rest of my life to have, to take out. Worship team, you can come. As I said, our big idea is, why is the resurrection of Jesus such a big deal? Because everything that you and I know and touch and experience has been changed and transformed and will be transformed and will be changed into eternity because he was raised from the dead. And my question for you today is, what if today is your day of salvation? What if God brought you here to settle this? Because there's reasonable proof to believe in Jesus Christ. There is reasonable proof to believe in Christ. So don't tell me I'm a scientist or I'm logical. This is a logical religion. This is a logical step of faith that all of us took or are taking or should take. What if it's true that you need to put your hope in Jesus Christ as your Savior? What if He is the resurrection and the life? What if you chose today to believe God's word? What if you were to believe the testimonies that we just went over? What if you were to believe the testimony of the person who invited you? What if the Holy Spirit, who is now nudging in some of your hearts and minds, saying, wow, this is, I knew I'd have to make a decision sometime. I knew there'd come a place where I would have to really wrestle this. Why not today? Why not today? The invitation for you to put your hope in Jesus Christ today is for you. I have a brother a year and a half younger than me. He got saved on Easter morning. He's gone on to be a pastor, teach in a seminary, go around the world and speak to people. Easter is a good day to get saved. Easter is a great day for you to settle it, settle this with God. Now is the favorable time, the scripture says. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Will you put aside the arguments, the excuses, the pride? Will you humble yourself and agree with God that you really are in need of a Savior because you and I have sinned? Will you tell God today that you believe that He came to die for your sin as well? That He died on the cross and that He was raised to a new life? Will you invite Him? Will you invite Him? And those who are listening online, will you invite Him? If that's your desire, you can ask Him today. You can ask Him right now. I hope you'll say something to someone, because I think the outward expression of faith in our heart is to say something to someone. But even right now, as you're quietly before God, you can agree with the prayer that I'm about ready to pray. So I urge you, I'm asking you, I plead with you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled. Be made right with God. So that your what if happened, will change the course of your life if you put your hope and faith in Him. So if your desire is to put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you've either done it before and you're not sure, or you're saying today, I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ, this prayer is for you. If you're already a believer, please pray for those who are in this time thinking about this. You know, the Bible promises whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you'd like to become a Christian, you can ask God right now in your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your free gift of salvation through faith. So if that's your heart desire, I'm going to pray this prayer. You pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I turn from my sins. I turn from my self-sufficiency, my pride. I turn from trusting in my own good works or any other religion. I surrender my life to You. Jesus, forgive my sins and make me clean. I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins and rose again on the third day and conquered death. I believe Your promise to forgive all my sins and now receive You as my Savior and my Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. In Your name I pray. Amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer, would you let somebody know that? You could let me know. I'd love to hear that. Someone who brought you. Because, you know, we'd like to help you. The Bible talks about When people have received Christ, they're a brand new creation. They're like a new babe. And God designed us so that we can find encouragement and helps. And we'd love to be able to help you in this new faith together. So let's sing and praise the Lord together. He is worthy. And let's give him the glory.